Well, this month we are doing Christian and his culture, and how we actually need to respond to our culture, and what are the things we need to do. Anyone, just as a way of starting, anyone knows what's the meaning of culture? Culture. What's the meaning of culture? It's interesting, when I look at the meaning of culture, for us, culture means type of food, type of dressing, right? Type of language. But actually, the word culture actually means to put in effort to build. Okay? And over time, the culture develops over time, whereby the culture becomes what we put in to build. Does that make sense? Example, I was mentioning in the Philippines. In the Philippines, you know your history. Okay? I understand there's a little bit of Malay in the Philippines, right? Then after that, the Spaniards came, and I know you developed your own. Then it became a culture. Similarly in Indonesia, similarly in India, over time, this particular food, the way they talk, the way they dress, over time they begin to, okay, this is what you need to do, so they believe, and over the centuries they begin to develop into a whole culture, alright? And everyone who is born within the culture thinks in a certain way, and does things in a certain way. Today we want to look at, let's turn to the book of Daniel, chapter 1, we want to look at Daniel and his friends who had a problem, okay? What we will do, as is our habit, we will stand, okay, and we will read God's word, alright? Let's stand as we read Daniel chapter 1. We'll read verse number 8. I know there's a whole 16 verses, but we'll just read verse number 8, alright, so that we will focus on Daniel, okay, but after I'll use the chapter. Let's read together Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. Ready? 1, 2, begin. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we commit this hour into your hands. Speak to us in a special way. And help us, Lord, as the title of today's message, be true to God. Help us, Father, despite the cultural influences, despite the worldly things that happen, Lord, help us to be true to who you are. Because you are our Savior, you are our God. We pray for one who may not know Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, you know that the basic premise of this church is to introduce them to this wonderful Savior. We pray today you will speak to all of us in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, please be seated. Daniel chapter 1. I'll go through from 1 to 16 and just give you an idea of what has happened. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. In about BC 587, King Nebuchadnezzar came actually 2 years before. Oh, sorry, before I go, I just need to make this announcement that I saw Brother Peng Kuang. Brother Peng Kuang actually needs some help when I met after church, if possible, because we're trying to shift some of the things over to this side. Okay, so if you can spare about 15 minutes, just help Brother Peng Kuang there. Alright, I saw him there, I remembered. Okay, come back again. In BC 587-589, King Nebuchadnezzar has coming to overcome the city of Judah. Judah was the final stronghold of Israel. Israel, the 10 tribes, have already fallen to King Assyria. Alright, in BC 732. It's already gone. Now, their last two tribes of Judah, they stood firm for an additional 150 years because as a nation, they honored God. As a nation, they stood for what God stood for. But King Nebuchadnezzar came in during that time as they were downgrading in terms, they were backsliding away from God. And finally, in BC 587, King Nebuchadnezzar overcame the entire land of Judah, took control of that. And that fell, Judah. the children that Daniel and some of his friends were then taken prisoners of war. They were prisoners of war. If you look at verse number 2, the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar refers to Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar came in, conquered the land of Judah, took of God's instruments from God's temple, and took it into the land of China, land of Babylon. What happened was the religion of the Jews were being defiled, being desecrated by this ungodly king. In verse 3, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs. In other words, there was this guy Ashpenaz. He was in charge of all the people who gave themselves to serve the kingdom of Babylon. He spake to them that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and the princes. So here it tells us that after the conquest of the land of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered Ashpenaz, go and find people from the children of Israel, those people of royalty, those people who are able to make some contribution to the new kingdom of Babylon. What are they supposed to do? Verse 4, children in whom was no blemish and well-favored, skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians. You know what they're trying to do? This is a normal practice of conquerors over conquered lands. What they will do when they conquered an entire land, they will bring the inhabitants of the land, they will put it into their universities, they will put it into their institute of learning, basically to change the learning of their language and also the learning. The learning has to do with the philosophy. In other words, King Nebuchadnezzar said, I want you to take the children of Israel, indoctrinate them, change them to think the way we think so that we can use them in our palace, so that we can use them in our kingdom. That was what was happening during that time. And you will find that happens all the time over years after. So I'll give you some examples of that. And in verse 5, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years. The word nourishing is important, because what they wanted to do was to prepare these people that were from Israel to serve the king of Babylon and the kingdom. Kind of like, remember when Singapore fell to the Japanese? What was the thing they wanted to do with the Singaporeans? One of the things was to make sure every Singaporean child attends a Japanese school and learn the Japanese language. Right? They were supposed to learn that. They wanted to change these people. They were supposed to learn the Japanese anthem. The Japanese national anthem. They use banana money. Banana money? And so in this situation, Daniel and all of them were given Babylonian names. They were taught the language and philosophy of those the conquerors. Now, these people would then think, well, since we are the prisoners of war, we have no choice, right, but to follow them, right? No, when Singapore was, if you read some of the national education books, when Singaporeans refuse to bow to the Japanese warlords, what do? They will smack them or chop off their heads straight. They will kill them. Why? To make them an example. So, you know, in that kind of situation, you are a prisoner of war, Daniel was. Then you find that, well, I have no choice but to follow, right? Failure to follow will often result in death. Now, just now I mentioned a statement. I say this Daniel and his friends had no choice to follow, right? A question for you. Or does he have a choice? Does Daniel and his friends actually have a choice? There's a recurrent argument oftentimes in our Singapore culture. When we talk to people, sometimes I have no choice, Lord, so I have to follow. The situation is like that. I have no choice, so I have to follow. Is that true? No, I was talking to one Christian. I mean, he's a Christian. He's actually a teacher in one of the junior colleges. He said one thing. I believe him. There's no such thing as compulsory in the school system. There's no such thing as compulsory. You can make a choice. You know, You know, the question we have today is, do we have a choice? Christians, can I say this? Oftentimes the choices in our lives come because we have to make a choice between what we know to be right and what the world wants us to do. What we know to be right and what the world wants us to do. Daniel and his friends were faced with that. After we'll talk about that. And so as Christians, listen, you need to understand, we absolutely have a choice because our God has given us a free choice. Amen? He has given us a free will to make proper decisions that will honor Him. Joshua says in Joshua 24 verse 15, what does Joshua say? Choose ye this day whom ye will serve. Can I say this? Based on every decision you make, there is always a consequence. Based on every decision you make, whether convenient or inconvenient, there will always be a consequence. Alright? And so as you think on that, as Christians, we are to be different from the culture of this world. We're not to be weird. Okay, there are some Christians who make themselves weird. Dress in a certain way, like all black. You know, some religions of this world will dress until it's like, they look very scary. God didn't call us to be weird. Alright, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. The title, if you're taking down notes, okay, for our visitors, we do have some notes that you can follow along inside, okay? So kind of just help you to follow along the trend of the message so that you won't get lost, okay? And then we have verses as well for you to follow just in case you have difficulty following. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's look at that verse. The Bible says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. God says we are a chosen generation. We are chosen. Christians, if you are saved today, did you realize that God has chosen you? God has chosen you. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 15, don't have to turn there, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. We are chosen, we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. The word royal pertains to kingship. But royal and priesthood seems to be a contradiction. One is regards to the priesthood of prayers and doing spiritual things. Royal has the idea of king. But God says we are royal and we are priests unto God. We are also a set apart nation. Set apart nation. The word holy means to be set apart. As Christians, the way what words we say, attitudes we have, behaviors we have, habits we have, language we use, must reflect the fact that we are different. In your, let's say in your workplace, if everyone uses vulgar language, for example, as a Christian, do you just follow the trend of the culture? No, God says you are a set apart nation, you are a holy nation. The word holy means to set apart. I remember when we were younger, I think there's this thing, you know, I think right now because of the seventh month, at the bottom of your flat there may be a lot of food. Alright, you know who enjoys the food the most? Ants. Oh, they had a feast. Me and my son were walking home, we saw 5 packets of chai peng. You know, vegetable rice. It's interesting that the so-called spirits eat the same food as us. Okay? But you know, then there is another, there was one time, this one is really funny. You know, when we actually, then they have all this burning and they put a lot of oranges at the bottom. Me and my son, I think we were just walking by. You know who was benefiting from? There was one guy. He had this plastic bag. He was basically collecting oranges. Put in his bag. He didn't believe it. So I found this free oranges. People put. Okay. Of course, he did it discreetly. He did not in front of everyone. They prayed. He picked straight. At night when there's no one, I came back late. He was just taking out oranges. It was just funny because remember those who came in Sunday Bible Hour, your worldview? For those who believe that those food is for the spirits, you better don't touch. You know why? You touch, your mouth will shift. Okay. Some people believe that because it's their belief system. But for one who don't believe that, then just pick up and bring up. I think he easily had about 15 to 20 Sunkist oranges. And of course he offered the best, right? And so they were, right? Because they don't believe that. Okay? But you know what? We need to be set apart. Do we participate in that? No. We are set apart nation. Now, because those food are set apart, we are not supposed to take. Right? Set apart for the gods. You're not supposed to set apart. You know what, Christians? God has, once God saved you, do you realize that God has set you apart to be different from everyone else? Not that, not to be strange, not to be weird, but in your attitudes, in the way you treat people, in what you do in your life, how you work. You know, students, I always, students, you realize you should be the best student in your class, not because you want to win award from your teacher, because you want to glorify God. You want to be the best student in your course, not because of awards, but because I'm a Christian and God demands excellence from my work. As a mother, as a whatever that you do, as a student, as a work, you need to do your best simply because you are set apart. Okay? God sets us apart. We are a holy nation. We are a peculiar people. Peculiar means we have a set of things in our lives that people don't generally believe in. Example, we give thanks before we eat. We pray. Why? You know, have you ever observed the people who don't believe in God, what they do? Once they take the food in, they just eat. Well, they can say it's their money. But do you realize as Christians, in our thinking we know, even the food that we have on the table belongs to God. And God freely gives it to us. We are given our health. Do you realize all of us are blessed by God? You know how? The fact that you are alive and sitting in your chair now is a blessing from God. I've always said this. Would you rather be in a hospital? Would you rather be lying down and cannot walk? Huh? Some of you has experience with that. You know, it's a sad thing to go to a hospital and see people unable to eat, unable to walk. But you know what? God has blessed us. You know, for the food that God puts in front of us, you know what? We need to give thanks. And don't just say a ritual prayer, oh God, thank you for blessing my body. Amen. Say it with a heart of thanksgiving. We are peculiar people. What's the purpose of God setting us apart? Look at the verse again, 1 Peter 2:9. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The purpose of God setting us apart is to glorify Him. We are Christians because God wants us to glorify Him. Wherever we live, whatever we do. Can I ask you a question? How did Daniel stay true to his calling? Those of us who understand or know this passage knew, Daniel stayed true to God. Amen? He stayed true to God despite the situations that he was in. You look at verse number 5. The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing him 3 years. At the end thereof, they might stand before the king. Now, among those were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. If you are planning to have children next time, those are good names to have. Those are godly names, okay? Alright? Unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. And that's what they usually do. They change their names. They change their names into pagan gods, gods that don't exist. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. Then Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were gods of the Babylonians. Those are not good names to give your children, okay? Because they are pagan gods. Pagan gods. But you know, what did Daniel do? There were certain things that he couldn't control. Like you change mind. Okay, I'm going to tell you a secret. You're not supposed to tell you outside this church, okay? Last time I was called Robert. People call me Robert. Because I was round. No implication, but I was called Robert. I was called many things, okay? You know what? You change my name, it doesn't affect me. You can call me Asing. You can call me. It doesn't change me. Okay, you can call me A. You can call me Tan. You can call me anything. You can even call me a clock. high clock. It doesn't change me. Does it make sense? So for Daniel, you change my name to Belteshazzar. It doesn't change me. I'm still Daniel. But it was something that was going to affect him. And that was that he had to eat whatever they gave him. Okay? In verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. We want to learn today, how did Daniel stay true to his calling? How do we stay true to God in our culture? In our schools, in our workplaces, in the places where we live, so that we can show forth the praise of our God in this world. You know, one of the blessings I find in Ambassador Baptist Church, and I pray that God will continue to do it for a long time. We thank God for, some of you know Sister Grace, some of you also have experience. Anyone who comes in the Ambassador Baptist Church have their lives touched and changed by the Word of God. Sister Sarah came in as someone who don't believe in God. She came in, she trusted Christ, she got baptized, she went back, changed. All her friends that she was sharing with me as they were emailing her and said, you don't talk like you used to. Alright, the things of the world have little interest. Now her job is going back to the Philippines. It's not just to have fun, it's to tell how God changed her to her dad and her brothers who do not know Christ. There was a change. Many of us are encouraged, and I hope you are. That's the purpose of sharing your testimony before you are baptized, of how God changed you. It's not a time that you just kind of show off. No, it's you humbly say, I was like that before. But when I met Jesus Christ, my life changed. And I believe many of us have that experience. You know, if you have never had a change experience in your life, you need to. The Lord Jesus Christ came to change our lives. He came to make sure that the sins that we have, the guilt that we have, are all put away in Christ so that we can move forward for God. How did Daniel stay true in his culture? How did Daniel and his friend overcome the pagan culture of his time? How do we stay true to Christ? I want to tell you four things from this passage. How to be true, or how to stay true to God. Look at verse number 6. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Number one, how do we stay true to God? These people stayed true to God because they had God in their hearts. They had God in their hearts. How do I get that? You realize in verse 6, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Do you realize at the end of all their names is the word E-L or A-L? You know what that is? That's the name of God. At the end of their names, Daniel means the judge of God. Hananiah means Jehovah has favored. Mishael means what God is or who God is. And Azariah means Jehovah has helped. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all had God in their hearts. God was the number one priority in their lives. Nothing else was more important to them. You can change their name. You can change their clothing. You're not going to change their God. They are not going to give in this area. Christians, do you have that resolve? You know, I'm afraid many Christians, when they go into a workplace, into a cultural place, we tend to adapt to the situation, isn't it? You know, sometimes we even adapt when we know it's wrong. Wrong in the sight of God. Example, I pity politicians. We have many good Christians in our system. But perhaps we know that we are multi-religious. And so many people who are politicians have had to compromise their faith in order to be so-called a good politician. Does that make sense? Well, I know they have a heart to do things, and maybe that's what God called them to do. But you know, not Daniel, he was a politician too, by the way. If you look at his life, he was a politician too. But you know, the first thing Daniel and these three Hebrew children had was they had God in their hearts. They were not going to compromise. Without God in your hearts, you have no principle, no power to stand against the culture of this world. You are, as it were, you're going to be a chameleon. You're going to change with the times. And people may find you to be a very nice person to be with, But when it comes to the trouble, when it comes to the crisis, you will find that it's very hard to depend on the person who has no character. The number one reason why they stood true to God, because they had God in their hearts. Christians, do you have God in your hearts? Yeah, you are a Christian. You have Christ. But does Christ have you? Does our Savior look at you and say, I control that life. The life belongs to me. Do you have God in your hearts? If you're not a Christian today, you need to submit to Christ. If you're not a Christian, you realize you daily submit to the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Who is the God of this world? The devil. And you just go with the flow. Number one, you need to have God in your hearts. Notice the number two thing you need to have in order to be true to God. Number one, to have God in your hearts. Number two, look at Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Number two, they made a determination not to defile themselves with a portion of the king's meat. Now, Brother Johnny, that's a big deal. I mean, if people give you food to eat, just eat lah. Huh? What's the problem? The problem is this. The food of the Babylonians before they eat, this is very important, it oftentimes sacrifice or offered to the idols first, to their gods first, before they actually eat it. And Daniel knew, I cannot eat that. You notice what he said. I am not to defile myself with a portion of the king's meat. How would eating defile Daniel? How would eating food defile Daniel? If you eat a plate of chicken rice, does it defile you? Samuel? No, right? What about you? Will it defile you? You sure? You're not too sure. Eating food itself will not defile you. You know what the problem is? Eating food that is offered. Very important principle in our local culture. Many Christians, churches teach, it's okay to eat food offered to idols. Daniel said he purposed that he will not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat because it has been offered to their pagan gods. I know I'm touching a very important thing here, but just get this. I know there are other principles, but I just want to give you first principle from the Bible. There is a spiritual implication to us in eating. There is a spiritual implication with compromise. Daniel knew that he is not supposed to eat that kind of meat that he knows spiritually has been offered to another god. By eating of the food, he is saying it is okay for me to worship that other god. That's what he's saying. And therefore he said, how can I, with God in my heart, how can I be true to God and do something else? Many Christians do that. I want to be true to God, but I keep compromise doing something else. Daniel says, no way, I am not going to do that. If there's rock music that is wrong, if there is sin that is wrong, I'm going to stay away from that, irregardless of what the culture says. I can lose my job, I can lose even my reputation, but I'm not going to compromise. You realize Daniel is putting his life at stake here. He purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself because my God is more important to me than what the world gives me. He made a determination in his heart. There's a spiritual application. Every compromise is sin. That's what Daniel is teaching us here. You know how not to compromise? You need to determine in your heart. You know, parents, your children is in a spiritual war front in the public schools. On a daily basis, they are being bombarded by philosophies and teaching that is wrong, sinful, anti-God. Not just in the primary schools, but in the junior colleges, in all the institutes of higher learning. Bombarded by things that we know in the Bible it's wrong. You know, we need to make a stand. We need to make a stand. When I was in Curtin University, when I was doing occupational therapy, I was there because I believe God knew. God wanted me there. But there was one particular course that I had to take, stress management. In stress management, there are many different ways of doing stress management. One of the ways they use is transcendental meditation and yoga. And as part of our university course, we are required to do that in a session. You know what I did? I told my lecturer, "Sorry, Ms. Passmore, I will not be participating. I will just sit behind and watch." She got angry at me. And she said, "Class, will we allow this?" She's a Christian, by what she said. But I said, with all due respect, I just sit behind. In the end, I was the only one behind. It's not easy to stand against, but you know what? If God is in your heart, He's more important than anything else in this world. But some is, "But Brother Johnny, come on, it's just a 45-minute session. What's the big deal?" You know what the big deal is? It defiles my heart. It defiles what's inside of me. Do you realize many Christians go through the defilement of daily life, making decisions that are wrong without knowing that they are defiling the inside? Daniel purposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the king's meat. How does it lead to defilement, Brother Johnny? What do you mean by that? A few verses. In Psalm 19, verse 13, number one, we are defiled by presumption. Presumption. In Psalm 19, verse 13, the Bible says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin." The word presumptuous means, I go ahead and do it with an attitude of pride, knowing that I know bad, it's okay. Example, some people may say, you can go ahead and, you should not steal, You know what? Just a little bit, it's okay one. It's okay to just miss this time. It's okay. Can I say this? When God says something, is it okay to miss just one time? If a person in authority tells you to do something, is it okay to miss one time? You'll be held accountable for that one time you miss, won't you? We serve the living God. And by presumption, we defile ourselves. Deuteronomy 17, verse 12. The word presumption means having the attitude that I know it's right, but it's okay to, don't worry about it. God will forgive. We give all kinds of reasons. God understands. I used to think last time when I don't go to church, God understands, I'm sick. Then I begin to realize, when I say God understands, I'm using my thinking. But you know what? God is going to hold me accountable for every action that I do. Yes, He does understand. But He does understand we need to obey Him too. Okay? So, Deuteronomy 17 verse 12, "And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel." Do you realize in the Old Testament, the sin of presumptuous, meaning you go ahead and do it, even though you were told and you don't do it and you just ignore it, God says that man will die. That's a death penalty for presumption. Did you know that? You know, it's scary. If it's the death penalty to God in the Old Testament, when you know and don't do, what do you think it is in the New? Does God change? He doesn't. That is still God's mentality when it comes to when we know it's right, don't do it. It's still the death penalty. You know why we're still alive? Because of God's grace. Because of God's grace. That's something that we need to understand. Number one, we are defiled by presumption. Number two, we are defiled by compromise. In James chapter 4, verse 17, "Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." Christians, can I just challenge you? Every time we know what is right, we don't do it. Recognize it is sin. That's what the Bible says. You know why Daniel was so strong in saying, "I'm not going to eat"? Because he knows The Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not worship any other gods but the God of heaven. I'm not going to defile myself. Okay? And number three, we defile ourselves by presumption, by compromise, and number three, by disobedience. In 1 Corinthians 10:20, notice what Paul says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And that I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. The Bible says what? You see, Daniel said, I cannot eat the food offered to another deity, because if I eat, it means I'm participating in the worship of that deity. But Brother Johnny, no, I'm just eating food. Yeah, you may think so, but by association, you are saying it's okay. God says no. The Bible says, James 2 verse 10, whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. How did Daniel determine not to defile himself? Number one, he had to have a purpose. The Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. The word purpose means determination. It means to fix, to end. It means to settle ultimately. That's the final decision. That's my final answer. Huh? In your game show, right? Is that your final answer? Daniel says, yes, I will not defile myself. That's my final answer. You can minus all my points. That is my final answer. The word purpose means to settle ultimately. There is no second. He's not going to have any second chance. This is it. This is it. You know, when we make decisions, we always want to have plan B. Just in case this don't happen, what about this? If this happen, if this doesn't happen, what about this? Can I try? You know what? With God, sometimes you have to make a decision for God because you love Him. And say, well, if I lose everything, I lose everything. Remember Esther? Remember Esther had to make a choice? His entire nation was in danger. Haman has already plotted to kill all the Jews. Mordecai was crying his uncle and saying, look, Esther, if you don't do something as the queen, you know you're a Jew. We're all going to die. Don't you think you are going to get... You think you can get away? What did Esther do? He said, well, okay, you go back and get those people to fast and pray for 3 days, 3 nights. Don't eat, don't drink. Me and my handmaidens will do the same. And then on the third day, it is not lawful for me to go to the king to plead on your behalf, but I'll do it anyway. And if I perish, I perish. If by doing what is right, I lose everything, Esther says, including my life, God be praised. You know, Christians, we need a kind of love for God. We love money so much, we do everything we can to keep it. We love things in the world so much, we do everything to keep it. Do we love God so much? On the contrary, do you love God so much that you're willing to let go of everything? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul? So what if you know what Jesus means? Jesus is comparing. What if you gain the whole... Think about this thing. What does Jesus mean to gain the whole world? Every single thing that Bill Gates have. Every iPad you can get your hands on. Even the latest one. There's an iPhone 5 coming in November, yes? I read the news. Huh? Huh. What if you can get every iPhone available... You don't even have to change battery. Finish battery, just throw away, use the next one. Huh? If you have all the buildings in the world, if you have the highest paid job in the world, if you have all the money in this world, you know what Jesus says? What is that compared to one soul? Do you know why we love people in this church? Because everyone is important to God. Amen? Whether you can read, cannot read, whether you're old or young, whether you're big size, small size, whether you're tall or short, every one of you are important to God. That's how valuable. That's why Jesus says, why are you sacrificing the external, or second the internal for the external? Which is more important, your soul or the things around? Or the soul or the body, which is more important? The soul, right? How much time do we spend on the soul versus how much time do we spend on the body? Huh? Okay, rest my case. Notice the purpose in his heart. He is determined. Notice that purpose is in his heart. Not just what people say. It is in his heart. The center of your decision. The center of your whole being. He is already determined in his heart. Once the heart is settled, there is nothing you can do to that person. Did you know that? One of the hardest things in counseling is when a person has already decided, you know what I do? I back off. Because I'm not getting good. I pray, God, you have to change that person's heart. And I find many times God had to break, do certain things to change that person again. You need to determine. Have you decided in your heart not to compromise with the world? The whatever the teachers, my lecturers, whoever that says what, if it's contrary to what I've already known, for those who are studying, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. For from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Don't compromise that. Have you decided? If there's a choice between your school and your church or something else or your workplace, what will you choose? Some will say, I have no choice. But this passage, even as a prisoner of war, Daniel said, I am not going to eat those food given to me because it is against God. We as Christians must purpose that we will walk with God. I'm going to say something, okay, which I know it may break some hearts or it may... In the upcoming presidential election, we have four Tans. I think. Tan Kin Lien, Tony Tan, who else? What Tan? Tan Cheng Bok. Oh, you know better than me. And Tan Ji Se. I think there's two more, I don't know. I know there's four in the presidential race. One of them has openly said that he is against the mandatory aspect of death penalty, and I quote. He's from what party? SDP, yeah. You sure? I don't know. But anyway, this guy, he says, he's the only expert, okay, Mr. Tan Ji says he's the only one who says he's against the mandatory aspect of death penalty. Okay? As a Christian, should we vote for him? He says he's against death penalty. As a president, if he is put on top, when people who deserve the death penalty according to the Bible, he's going to say, no, no death penalty. As a Christian, what should we do? What should we do?
God forgives.
Okay, God forgives. But as a president in a position of authority, a person deserves... Let's say I just killed him, okay? Do I deserve the death penalty? Yes. That's what the Bible says. Let's turn to Genesis 9 verse 6. I think some of us are not too clear on that as well. Genesis chapter 9 verse 6. Genesis chapter 9 verse 6. Genesis chapter 9 verse 6. I'll read, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Do you realize this is the institution of government by God? Okay? Because before that, before the flood came, people were just kind of doing what they want, killing each other and everything is okay. God says, no, I'm going to institute government because men cannot govern themselves. And so God put the death penalty. Here he says, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. In other words, let's say if I kill him, I will be arrested and the judge will say, because of his malicious intent, he killed this person, he deserves to die. And that's what God says. The mandatory death penalty, by the way, is not instituted under the Mosaic law. It's an eternal principle that God says, anyone who kills another person deserves to die. Why? Because we are all made in the image of God. How dare we kill someone made in the image of God? The only person that can take away life is God. Does it make sense? Or God gives the authority to the government. And so if one guy comes and says, I'm against that, as a Christian, what should we do? But Brother Johnny, he's such a nice man. I know, he's a Tan also. I'm so Tan. He's a very nice man. But Brother Johnny, it's just one small aspect. by his disobedience to God. So Christians, how should we vote? I have to say that because this is our culture. I'm not against that man. When he dared to say that, it's about time God's people said, look, that is against the word of God. And we are not to support this person. I say that, I'll go to jail for it, because I believe this is what God says. My belief system helps me to see that's wrong, because the Bible says so. I'm prepared to die for this. I know some of you, oh, Brother Johnny, he's such a nice man. I spoke to him, he shook my hand, he was so gentle. You know, he sat down, he drank coffee, he spoke to me. But he broke God's law. I want to challenge us. Daniel didn't compromise because he saw God's law as important. Do we? 1 Corinthians 10:39, whether ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Let's move on. Point number 3. How do we remain true to God? You need to have God in your hearts. Number 2, you need to be determined not to defile yourself with the king's meat. And number 3, I like this. Daniel chapter 1 verse 8. The Bible says, therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He actively made a stand. He didn't just purpose here. He actually made a stand. Okay? What did he do? Can I say this? I think this is one of the... Not only was Daniel courageous, he was wise. You know some people like, I'm not going to eat. You kill me also, can I? You catch me. That's not what Daniel, that's foolishness. You know, Daniel was courageous to make a stand, but he was wise. He was wise. Can I say there's a way of making a stand? You don't have to offend the whole world in making a stand. I think many Christians have gone down that road. I'm going to make a stand for God. You know, I'm going to, the person say, I won't attack him. You don't have to attack a person. Did you know that? Our goal is to be true to God, not to be aggressive to your fellow man. Okay? So what did Daniel do? Number one, he went to the right person. The Bible says he went to the prince of the eunuchs, the person who makes the decision about the food. Okay? That's what he did. He went to the... He didn't make any remarks. He didn't try to sidestep authority. He didn't... Hey, that guy, too much. You know, yeah. I need to stand for Christ. You know how we deal with these things? We go and gather our group of supporters. Huh? And then we talk bad about that prince of the eunuchs, right? Not Daniel. He went straight to the... Look. He made his request to the prince of the eunuchs. You know, we need to be wise in our worldly dealings. Amen? We need to be wise in our worldly dealings. Example, for some of you who say, look, there's going to be something, they say it's compulsory, but you know, on this particular day, on Sunday or whatever, you know, I need to be there because I need to serve God. It's interesting. Can I challenge you? Next time when there's a clash between church activity and your whatever activity, you go and tell the other person, right, and tell me, Pastor, I cannot come. Tell the teacher, I cannot come. Which will you choose? Why is it that God's work always suffers? Why? You know why? Because we don't love God as much. Because we don't love God as much. Now, I say this as a blanket one. I know there are situations. Do we love God as much? I just dropped that in. But you know what? Daniel was saying, okay, I have a choice. I'm making a choice. But Lord, what should I do? Okay? The person that makes this choice about food is the prince of the eunuchs. I need to go to him. So he went straight to the authority and presented his request. Number one, he went to the right person. Number two, he respected the person in charge. Notice in verse 11, Daniel chapter 1, right? He respected that person. He didn't fight him. He didn't be obnoxious. You notice that Daniel was a very calm person. And there was nothing to suggest he fought or aggressive. But you read in verse 11, then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, verse 12, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse. The word pulse had the idea of something that is sown, vegetables, basically saying, give us vegetables and fruits to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest. Deal with thy servant. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. You know what he did? You know what he did? He said, well, can I make a request? Don't give us the food. give us just vegetables according to our diet that God permits. And then you prove me after 10 days. Prove me after 10 days. You know, he respected the person in charge, and that's something that we need to be careful. He says, you look at verse 13, the last part. Notice what I say when he respected the person in charge. As thou seest, last part, deal with thy servant. If at the end of 10 days, Menza, if at the end of 10 days, you find that our Hebrew diet made us less able than the other king's diet, whatever you want to do to us, so be it. You are still in charge, but it's my request. Okay? Does that make sense? No, Christians, we need to be courageous in our faith, but we need to be wise in our thinking. That's why you need to study the scripture and say, Lord, what? Daniel was very wise. But you know, the third point under this, you know how Daniel operated there? He didn't operate by anything else except by faith, you know. He believed that God's diet was better. Can I say this? The king's meat usually is things like Ferrero Rocher. Huh? Steak. Baked potatoes with lots of what's the chips you put on? Bacon chips. Those rich stuff. Oh, what else you have? Huh? What else delicious food you have? Turkish delight or something. Those are the king's meat. If you study, those are the dainty meat. Those are the portion of the king's meat. Because in the pagan thoughts, all these meats will actually make the person strong and all that. But you know what? What's God's diet? You stay away from all that kind of thing. Eat fruits and vegetables. Okay? Contrary to, God didn't make us vegetarians. It's just that because there was no death. Today, Christians can eat anything except blood. Okay? You can eat anything. You can eat cockroaches, lizards. I'm not joking. Someone in our church actually ate lizard before. I won't tell you who. You can go and ask him. Alright? You can eat anything! In the army, you're taught you can eat anything. Really? You really can eat anything. Really, you can even eat this plastic if you want. Yeah, you can. But you know, what did Daniel do? Point number three. Firstly, he went to the right person. Number two, he respected the person. Number three, he had to trust God. You realize he had to trust God as he did that? He look at verse number 12 to 14. He said, prove thy servants. He's making a bold thing. Sometimes I will tell a Christian who is deciding, why don't you test God? I can assure you, God will see you through. How many of you believe that God will see us through our trials? Put up your hand. He always does. I'm not even trying to predict. He does. It's just that sometimes the way He brings us through may not be the way we think. But He will bring us through. Amen? Huh? Amen? We may get wet. Remember the disciples were in the boat. Or they get wet with the storm. But Jesus calmed the storm later on. Amen? And built their faith. Huh? Christians, we have to understand. We need to trust God. There was one guy who wanted to go for church camp desperately. He's a Christian and he loved God. And his OC was against him all the way. He applied for his leave like 3 months ahead. But no, in his heart, he knew that God was going. So he just, sir, can I apply leave for church camp and all that kind of thing? He said, yeah, sure, you know. No, sorry, wrong. The OC said no. Okay, he was dead set against that. But sir, it's important. Well, no, I said no means no. But then he still applied leave. He just prayed. In his heart, he knew God was going to give him. There's something that happened in him that he's a Christian. But you know what? The OC did all he can to stop him. But in the end, I don't know the whole story, but I know that in the end, he still get to go to church camp. Can I say this? When you pray with all your hearts, wanting to do something for the glory of God, there's nothing the world can stand. There's nothing the world can do to stand against God's plan. Amen? There's nothing in the world. God has His plan, but you know what? God is looking for a man or a woman who says, I will stand firm and be true to God. Every primary school children, can I say this from today onwards, you make sure your behavior is good, you study hard, your teachers, whatever the teachers tell you to do, you do. If you're not too sure, you ask. With all respect, I can tell you, God will be honored, and you tell them, why are you so good, well behaved? I told you, because my mommy teach me to be a good Christian. I'm telling you this because that's what God tells us to do. You be a light. It's not easy, I know. But be a light and say, God loves me so much. Lord, help me to be true to Him as He is true to me. You know when you die, if you trust Christ, you'll be in heaven. Amen? You know why? Because God is faithful to His promise. Can I say this? Even when we are not true to our promise to Him, God remains faithful. He doesn't change. That's why we can trust God. He doesn't change His promises. Amen? But you know what? We need to learn to trust Him. Christians, trust God. Be true to God. They made an active stand wisely with faith in God. And lastly, they were honored for their staying true to God. Can I say this? God always honors those who honor Him. When we say, I will remain true to God, God says, I will prove myself true to you. Remember Moses? At the Red Sea, everyone said, Moses, you brought us here to die, you know, the mountains here, mountains there, Red Sea, the Pharaoh, what are you doing? What did Moses just keep, just steady, just keep quiet. Just hold your peace. God will deliver us. And Moses didn't say that for fun, he said that with full faith that God can. Because God had already told him, just put your stick there. And what he got, the biggest miracle in the history of man, God opened the Red Sea. Allow 2 million people to walk through on dry ground. Can you imagine if you were the one who, Moses, what are you doing? Then suddenly next moment you're walking, like, then you see the swordfish, and then you see the octopus, hi, you know, as you're walking through the Red Sea. Guys, 18 to 24 kilometers on dry ground, Red Sea opening. Huh? Modern day skeptics say the Red Sea opening was just, the water was only about knee high. There was one black preacher in a Bible college. He just went there to study. And the professor was ridiculing the miracle. He was a Bible college. The professor was saying, actually, the Bible is not true and all that. And then he was referring to Red Sea. And he said, you know, when Moses and the people walked through Red Sea, actually it's not true because the water was only like that. After a few seconds, this black preacher, amen! Then, what are you amening about? Well, it was a miracle of God to drown the entire Pharaoh's army in knee-level water. Amen? Even as men try to think of ways to go against God, God still has the last laugh. Amen? Can I say this? God always comes through. Amen? You know what Jesus said on the cross? It is finished. He completed everything He needed to do for our salvation. Will you trust God, Christian? When you learn to trust God, God will honor you. When we make a stand to obey God and not compromise, God will work on our behalf. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Be thou not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Some of you, if you say you're a Christian in your public schools, people will laugh at you. Let me ask you, will you still dare to say, I'm a Christian and I will stand by what my Savior teaches me? There's a song that goes like this. Let the world despise and leave me. They have left my Savior too. I'd rather stand with my Savior than stand with the world. Because all the world's things are going away anyway, are fading away anyway. But when we stand with Jesus, we stand forever, amen? We stand for all eternity. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. If you're a Christian, say so. I dare you. The next few days, those in primary school, you know, primary school, secondary school, close your eyes, pray quietly in your hearts when you eat your food. You know, it's not easy for young children. For parents, we need to train them and teach them that's the right way. Because that's the way of the Lord. Bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to do that if you ever want to preserve their soul for all eternity. They were honored, number one, they were honored by God. Look at verse 17. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. Look at verse 14 first. So he consented them in this matter and proved them 10 days. So Manzah said, okay, fine. Verse 15, and at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portions of the king's meat. They were fairer and fatter. The idea of fatter means they were healthier, right? Not fatter as in become harder to move. Fatter as in they were more healthier. And then verse 15, God honored them. At the end of 10 days, at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh, and all the children which did eat a portion of king's meat. Verse 16, then Melzar took away the portion of their meat. God gave them the victory. It is possible. Absolutely possible. But Brother Johnny cannot. Well, you need to trust God more. Maybe God just wants you to make a stand. Make a stand. Took away the meat and the wine. The wine is oftentimes alcoholic wine. Oftentimes wine that will make you drunk. That will impair your judgment. As a Christian, we all must always be sober in our thinking. And so God allowed them to take that away. And God honored them. God honored them. God honored them. I have this. This one may look a bit different in terms of honoring, but God honored this woman. A woman was burnt at Chippen Saban in England, alright, by order of the Chancellor, Dr. Whittington. She refused to compromise her faith, and she was ordered to be burned, alright, and she was burned at the stake for her faith in Christ and refusal to obey the wrong commands. After she has been consumed in the face, flames, the people were returning home. You know what happened? A bull broke loose from a butcher. And guess what this bull did? The bull broke loose and it was running through. You know who the bull went for? The chancellor that sentenced this lady to death. The bull ran through town and went straight for Dr. Whittingham, the one who sentenced this lady to burn in the flames. And everyone was scratching their head. How come the bull is so accurate? You know why? God took his revenge. This is an account from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. God honors those who honor him. You don't think that the people looking will be afraid? They better be careful what I do to the Christians next time. The people, God, if you're a God, strike me dead with lightning. You know what God did? This guy died 7 days later from a mosquito bite. God doesn't need lightning to kill you. A mosquito will do. Amen? God honors those who honors him. Guys, these are true stories. Real. You know what? You know why I'm a Christian? Because God is true. His word is true. Therefore, I must be true to him as we close. Number two, they were honored by God. Then the last one, they were honored by men. Verse number 19. Verse 17, first, as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the days that the king had said he would bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them. And among them all was none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Let me ask you, why did Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus and King Darius honored Daniel? You know what? It wasn't just because of Daniel's good work. Because Daniel had God in his heart. God gave them the promotion. Daniel ruled 80 years in the number 2 position. You know why number 2? Because number 1 is the king himself. 4 kings loved Daniel so much that Daniel was always made the chief. You know why? Because he had God in his heart. The Bible spoke nothing of Daniel's ability to manage affairs in the kingdom. I say again, the Bible said nothing about how Daniel managed affairs in the kingdom. In other words, God wasn't looking for skills. Amen? God wasn't looking for how able we are. God was looking, am I in your heart? And God was able to use Daniel in the culture to influence people. Remember the wise men that came to see Jesus? Do you know where they learned that there will be a king that will be born? You know where the wise men were from? They were from Persia. You guess who was the second in command in Persia? 400 to 600 years before. Daniel. It was through Daniel that the astrologers, when astrologers, not today, we're talking about astrology like Cancer and Libra, the people who look at the stars and tell the future for the king in terms of wisdom. Daniel influenced them by saying, there is a king that is coming. You look out for the star. And that was why the first thing the wise man came to Jerusalem. What did he say? We have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You know why? Daniel had God in his heart. Can I say this like Daniel? We can influence our culture. Some of you, my mom was able to bring some friends. These are simple ways to bring people to Christ. Children, you can bring your friends, Lord willing, to the children's outing. Just tell them. In your workplaces, you can say, hey, I'm a Christian. There's certain things I don't think we need to do. You need to be prepared to pay for the consequences. Are you willing? Is God's love for you so great? You say, God, whatever it takes, I will stand for you. Let's close in word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. And Father, I pray it's an encouragement for every one of us. I just ask that you will just touch our hearts now as we look into our hearts. And Father, thank you for the lesson from Daniel. How, Father, in the being a prisoner of war, being in a place where it's so difficult to even get some support for himself, the only support he had was Christ in his heart, was God in his heart, was God's word in his heart. And when the situation propped up that he had to make a stand, Lord, he did. Father, what a holy example he is to us. Lord, I pray for us as Christians. Father, sometimes it is so hard in our modern-day Singapore. The culture has done so much to minimize the influence of Christianity. Lord, I pray that you will give us grace and strength. With eyes closed, heads bowed, no one looking around. Let me just ask you this question. There's no one looking around. Christians, you are in your various workplaces, in your various schools. Are you prepared to be true to God despite the odds? God calls us to be salt of this earth. Salt does irritate sometimes. But you know what? Salt preserves. Salt flavors. Yes, it irritates, but it flavors the surrounding. It makes the surrounding better. You say, Lord, help me to be a salt of this earth. Help me to be an influence in the culture in which I live, that I might be a light for Christ. For ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him who will call you out of darkness into light. Brother Johnny, God has spoken to my heart. Pray for me. I will be true to God. Is that your testimony? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you, for God to strengthen you. Amen. I see those hands. I see hands all over. Just put up your right hand or left hand. I'll pray for you. Amen. Just put it up, put it down. Resolve in your heart. Amen. Put up your hand, put it down. And then you pray in your heart and ask God to strengthen you to do the right thing at all times so that you will honor God. Amen. I even see children putting up their hand. Put it up, put it down. And then pray in your own hearts. I will be true to God. Yes, there will be consequences, but if you trust God, you will see God can change the darkness into light. Is there anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. All right, see those hands. I ask you one more question. Can I say this? If you are here without Jesus Christ, you have no strength in your heart to stand against the wrong influences of this world. The world will tell you to do things that sometimes you don't even ask. You even ask yourself, why in the world am I doing this? But then you have no strength, no moral character to fight back. You know why? Because you do not have Jesus in your hearts. I'm not talking about religion. Or religion can make people do a lot of things, but religion cannot bring people to heaven. Only Jesus Christ can. Because he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, Brother Johnny, I don't understand about this Jesus, but I do want to find out more. Ambassador Baptist Church exists only for two reasons, to introduce people to Jesus Christ and to build up the Christian. If you say, Brother Johnny, I don't understand all this, can you help me? If that's your testimony, just put up your right hand, I'll pray for you. And then I'll get someone else to share with you. We won't embarrass you. We don't want your money. We're not asking you to join the church. We're just asking you give us an opportunity to share with you what God has in the Bible. Is there anyone like this? I'm not sure. If I die right now, I'll be in heaven. Is there anyone? Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the many, many, many hands that have gone up. Oh God, in the culture in which we live, God, we need your help. Lord, we know that when you came into this world, even the Jews oppose you, Lord. Even your own people, the Bible says, oppose the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, Lord, you came with all the holiness of heaven. You came with all the love in your hearts for them. And on the cross, you demonstrated that in order to save us from our sin. Lord, I pray that you help believers in this room who have put up their hands, that God, you will help them to be strong in their hearts. That God, they will put back the priority that if Jesus Christ loved me so much and he asked me to follow him, I will because I love him. Father, I pray for every man or every lady, every child that has put up their hand and say, I will be true to God, the one who saved my soul from eternal death. But Lord, you know, being true in our hearts is easy to say, but God, the living out of that life, we need your help. We need wisdom. We need you to guide us like you guided Daniel. We need you to help us as we pray. We need you to answer our prayer in a clear way. Father, I pray for everyone who is here and say, yes, I will be true to God because he's so true to me. Help us, Lord, to show in our life. And then gently, Father, by your grace, to show that God, you're a good God to the people around us. So that more people will come to Jesus because, Lord, that is the good life. That's the best life. Because when they die, they can have assurance that they're going to heaven. Oh, Lord, please, I ask for your Holy Spirit to strengthen every one of us as we sing the closing hymn, I'd Rather Have Jesus. Help us, Lord, to seal this in our hearts as we close. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand as we sing, I'd Rather